This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
With Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anastasia.
Good morning, darling heart.
Good morning, Melbourne.
Hey, it's a public holiday tomorrow.
I know, the football's on.
Is this the first one ever that we've had for Melbourne, for football or
the
not?
The first public holiday for Melbourne?
Well, No.
It's been there for a little while,
I think.
It was last year or the year before the
first? I've never noticed it before.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Do you follow the football?
Not at all. I'm just excited that we've got the day off tomorrow morning.
It is. Yeah, we do.
We do, don't we?
Who's filling in. Hey, coming up, the most unexpected item has washed up on an Italian
beach. Can I quickly tell you something? The most unexpected item was on the tram this morning. The most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Really?
Dressed in tracksuits, but like a cross between like Jennifer Lopez and Penelope Cruz.
Oh,
and
wow.
I could not stop staring at her. I was like, I couldn't handle the fact that she was wearing tracksuits, but she was still hot through them.
Did she stare back?
No, she was so not interested.
Maybe she'll be like my grumpy
she
man.
She was so
that's
on her phone, probably with her boyfriend, going, why is this lesbian looking at me?
When you go on the beach,
yes.
Do you like walking on the beach?
I love walking on the beach. I love the sand underneath my feet.
And what do you reckon you'd find?
What would I find?
Yeah.
Oh, a couple of crabs.
Some shells, you know, typical stuff. Maybe a bit of rubbish and what have you. Well, a vacation was cut short for some families visiting a beach on Italy's western coast after a deluge of dildos washed up.
You're kidding me.
On the seaside.
No. Oh, my God.
Kids were banned from the beach near the hermitage of Camaldoli Monastery, which is located near Naples, after a clean-up volunteer stumbled across the toys while cleaning up the area.
So what, people are using dildos and just throwing them in the
water? I don't know. They don't know where it came from.
I thought you could reuse them. They're recyclable.
The clean-up group, there was a we have that clean-up Australia.
Yeah, of course.
They said they've found everything from industrial waste to dead animals, but they've never found dozens of dildos. And they're currently being removed. It's not clear yet how long people will be banned from the beach, but what would you do?
Oh, my God. How would you explain it to your little children?
Oh, you couldn't. You just, they're jellyfish.
It's a tampon, darling. Have you been getting any magic in the bedroom lately, darling?
No, not at all.
No,
but I'm quite happy about
that
at the moment.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I don't, because I have sex with myself every night. Yeah, I love it.
Is that where you got those calluses all over?
I just have that ritual. I talk to myself through it. It's fantastic.
No, I'm not missing it at the moment.
I don't disappoint anyone.
Well, a new study Nipissing University.
Nipissing.
In Canada. I think I said that right. It's taken a look at the role of facial features and what they play in sexual relationships.
What do they say about people with high foreheads?
You might get lots, because what the aim was to find out if you can predict the details of someone's sex life just by looking at their face.
Oh, wow.
So if you look at my face, look at my face. What do you reckon?
I reckon you're getting heaps.
You reckon?
Yeah, because you're a really handsome man.
Nah, well, I'm not. Well, they found that both men and women with a higher face width to height ratio, so meaning a rounder, wider face, reported having a higher sex drive and thus more sex than those with narrower, longer faces.
So does that mean like Bert Newton is
having sex
with Patty Newton now?
He was like a complete. He was like a complete stud. So if you've got a moon face, you're in luck. You're going to cock it.
We really struggle, don't we, with the Twitter? We're trying to get our breakfast outside, aren't we? We're trying to get really public here, because it's all about our ego. But we're only using Facebook at the moment, and we're really struggling with Twitter. We got a Twitter account organised, how long ago? Six, 8 months ago, and we've probably done
longer.
One tweet.
I think there's been one tweet
for the show.
For a little bit.
Why do you struggle with it?
Someone's probably hacked it and been tweeting all sorts of things. I don't know. I used to use, when I was doing daytimes here on Joy, I had a Twitter account, which was, I would tweet music that was coming up and that. Yeah, it was really good. But I found the characters really limiting. It's 140, I think.
That's a lot to say, though, in 140.
But it's not really when you just want to sort of mention something.
Actually,
I found it really frustrating. And then you type it and it would, you go into the negative and you're cutting out bits and abbreviating words. And I found that really frustrating.
Yeah.
But the thing I do use it for is I don't post anything. Is I use it for news. So I get the, from the news sites
As
tweets come in. But that's about it.
Yeah.
That's all I use it for.
Because it's so popular. It's a great tool.
Yeah. But don't forget, if you do our Facebook page, just look up Anastasia and Warren.
Yeah. Lick us and like us if you could. We'd love that.
But Twitter is about to set on Tuesday that it's going to test extending the text limit that you can post on service from 140 to 280 characters.
Double the amount. Fantastic.
Double the amount. It's going to begin in small groups around the world. It hasn't said whether it will roll out the change to all users in the future. Who knows, maybe President Trump will start tweeting a little bit more as well.
Oh, my God, he's going to go crazy on it.
Absolutely. But they said in the end, tweets get right to the point with the information or thoughts that matter, and that this is something that will never change. And I think that's probably the thing about Twitter, isn't it? It's direct to the point.
It is very direct and it's straight to the point.
So you can't sit there and fluff around it, which is what we tend to do.
It's probably why we don't like it.
On our Facebook page. But we might drag it out, dust off the cobwebs.
You're thinking about reconnecting with males, but you don't necessarily want to just reconnect through Grindr and stuff. You want to really connect and meet somebody that you can quite potentially fall in love with.
Connect, yeah.
Exactly.
Connect is the word.
Now, we're going to give Tinder a go, aren't we?
Well, you've convinced me last Friday, you and the boss, that
yes.
I would go onto it. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to have to do...
I'm hesitating.
We'll work on your profile because I think I need to get back on it as well. We'll do a little session of our profiles and
get back
on Tinder.
Whiteboard the profile.
But hey... In the paper today, there is the Tinder trap. There's a bit of – let's talk about this.
See, this
is a bit scary. Yeah, Victoria's top cop has warned of an alarming trend of sex attacks linked to people inviting strangers they meet on dating apps like Tinder into their homes. They might be meeting on dating apps, but they might also be in your buy, swap and sell type apps. He warned such meetings should initially be made in the safety of a public space. It's an online phenomenon, really, and it's all ages. So people are actually getting attacked.
Wow.
And it's really, really dangerous. Now, have you ever invited a stranger to your home?
In the past I have,
so
yeah.
Have I
wouldn't do it now, though.
Like, if I think back, how ridiculous is it?
Yeah, when I... think of some of the people that
yeah.
I've come across.
So we're going to have to be very careful. You can't just invite any man that you meet. It doesn't matter how good looking he is on his profile shot.
I won't.
Because I know you're a sucker for looks like I am.
But I will
but we
say...
we meet at the supermarket first.
I did invite...
have a coffee in the mall.
That's a great idea.
I'll have a cappuccino. Thanks.
Cup
frost.
Of chino. But I did invite someone home once and Fuzzy, my dog, when offered him...
See?
Was
Fuzzy
and
knew.
He never growls at anyone.
Yeah,
he
picked
knew.
Up on his energy. I bet he wasn't a nice man.
No, and he went running out the front door.
Well, I've got no dogs to warn me.
No, but I don't know if I'll go back on. You might have to convince me.
No, we're gonna go back on. We need to put ourselves out there, darling.
All right.
We're too beautiful to be alone.
He's naked. Mwah. Hey, if there's one thing I really like in a guy, it's a good bum.
Yeah, you do
a
like
nice,
your butt.
A nice, round, muscly butt.
I love one
it looks
too.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, there was a recent viral image of Tom Cruise.
Oh,
and it's been going around social
yes.
media, and he's got this mass. He's bending over
oh.
In one of the films that he was, playing.
Is it
in.
As big as the Swedish model on our Facebook page
it's
that where I'm obsessed with?
Absolutely huge. Maybe
if you want to have a look at that picture of this Swedish model that I'm obsessed with, she's got a 200-centimetre butt size,
yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah, almost 2 metres.
Head over to Anastasia and Warren on Facebook and check her out.
But this one of Tom Cruise, I mean, it looks amazing.
Like, yes.
I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan.
I think he's so sexy.
This is one of the best pictures
yeah.
I've seen.
Oh,
anyway,
looking at it now.
It's been around for a while and people are saying, is it a prosthetic?
Mm.
And
it probably is.
There's been rumours going around, but Cruise has addressed the meme in a recent video interview that's tipped for release later this week.
Wow.
And he's saying no.
I'll tell you what, though, if you slap that ass, it would hurt
he's
your
He's saying it's his real ass, but you've got to have a look at it.
It's like just slapping cement. Concrete wall.
I don't reckon it's
Mine's
real.
Mine's like jellyfish at the moment.
It's like it's in proportion to his body. So
your hand would bounce back and hit you in the face if you slap mine.
Are you going to get married one day? Do you hope to get married one
no,
day?
No, I don't want to get married, but I want to have a ceremony with somebody. I'll probably have a synogamy wedding.
Synogamy
wedding. Actually, so I will.
Oh, will you marry yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually reckon that's not a bad idea.
I think I need
idea.
To marry myself before I marry anybody else, to be quite honest with you. It's about self-love and self-respect.
Absolutely. I reckon that's a really good idea. I wouldn't mind doing that. Maybe we
yeah,
should.
Yeah, maybe we should have a wedding.
Do a dual synogamy yeah. wedding. Well, in... China. Mm. I mean, we may be able to marry soon anyway, hopefully.
We better be
able to, which means also we'll be able to get divorced soon.
Oh, yes.
As well. We haven't thought
that
about
comes
that,
with that,
have we?
It?
That comes down the track. And if I think about some of my relationships,
oh
I would have had
God.
Several
if
divorces
I got married
by
to
now.
Any of my relationships, I would have been divorced within the second week. I fall in love. You just need to look at me and I'm in love. Can you imagine?
Well, getting a divorce is never easy, but at a court in a province in south of southern China, one magistrate has recently implemented a divorce exam that both the husband and the wife must fail in order for their divorce application to be approved.
Oh, my God. So you just can't get divorced.
You just can't get divorced in this particular province.
Yep.
His intention was to make couples think twice before ending their marriage and also give them an opportunity to reminisce the good times
they had together. Can you imagine if you hate that partner?
Oh, so he came up with a series of questions for both partners and they've got to answer them separately. And if they score under 60, the magistrate approves their divorce application.
This is brilliant.
But if not, they have to keep working on their marriage whether they like it or not.
Oh, my goodness me.
Now, we don't know what the questions are.
No.
But we want to know what you think the questions should be in a divorce exam.
Yeah, in a divorce exam, what would the questions be?
What would be your question?
A question would be, is your partner willing to be completely and utterly vulnerable with you?
Oh, that's a really serious
and,
one.
Yeah, and expressive. That's really, really important because if you're vulnerable, well, we know each other, right?
Yeah.
If you're not, well, what's the point? You've got to be raw with Anastasia. What about you, my darling?
Mine would be, are they willing to withstand life's challenges or do they take the easy way out? Because that's been my experience.
Yeah, it has been your experience. Once it gets tough, they're out the door, aren't
they? Absolutely. Got a couple of SMSs coming in.
We did get a couple of messages in. We got one in from Alexis Chiara. She says, good morning, beautiful people. Question for the wife, what is the size of his tool? Are you happy with it? Hey, that's a very fair question.
You've got to be happy with it.
You don't want a tiny fella. Well, maybe tiny fellas work for chicks like me. And another one here, morning Anastasia and Warren, a divorce question could be, have you ever felt that frustrated that you wanted to throw the cat food at your partner's face? That's Ron.
Now, you know that the marriage equality debate's going on at the moment.
Yes, I do.
And you do look at some of the arguments coming out and you think, oh, my goodness, where do these people get these arguments from? But let's not forget that some people still think that the earth is flat.
Right.
It's true.
Is it true, though?
It's true because there's a US rapper, his name's Bob, B-O-B, he's crowdfunding the launch of satellites to see if he can get some evidence that the earth is flat.
Wow.
That's right. His real name is Bobby Ray Simmons Jr.
Yep.
And he's been a vocal proponent of the flat earth theory.
Yep.
The claim that the earth is in fact flat, a disc, and not spherical.
Is he right?
No.
Oh, my God.
He needs to raise about 200 grand
or something. The guy I was seeing kept telling me that the world, that the earth was flat. I'm not kidding.
You're joking.
I'm not kidding.
Really?
The whole time. I had no idea what he was talking about because I wasn't interested. I was off with the fairies. But
I would have run
him
off.
That's not true.
Well, some proponents of the flat earth theory claim that NASA employees are guarding the edge of the world to prevent people from falling off.
Oh, my God, this is hysterical.
And also a guy recently flew in a plane with a spirit level to see, to prove that the earth was flat because it didn't change as he went around with, you know, gravity working on the bubble.
Oh, my God.
It's true. Did this guy really?
Oh, my God, the whole time. I remember one night we were out and that all he talked about was the earth being flat. And I was feeling pretty flat, to be honest.
This really upset me yesterday and it was in Gay Star News.
Mm.
Someone tried to kick a dog.
I beg your pardon?
Someone tried to kick a dog wearing a Vote Yes coat at a reserve in Yarraville.
You are kidding me.
No. A lady by the name of Claire, she said on Twitter, so some mouth-breathing cretin in the park tried to kick my dog while shouting homophobic slurs.
Absolutely.
Australia, you have truly shat the bed.
Disgusting.
It's a dog.
It's a bloody dog.
And just, you know, we've heard about people putting, you know, Nazi symbols on houses and, you know, down in Tasmania there's been some horrible graffiti as well. And bricks through windows. Now, I've got a poster on my window and, you know, I'm going to keep it there. But this stuff that's going on is just appalling in terms of the no campaign. But taking it to an innocent animal is taking it to an even lower level. For God's sake, do you think the animal is going to vote yes or no or has an opinion?
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't even know what equality is, doesn't even know what marriage is. It's just a furry
innocent little dog. There's so much hate, isn't there? Hey, you know what, though? I was going to say something really quickly on that as you were talking about the dog and the it was wearing a jumper, was it?
Yeah,
you know,
the jumper had yes on it.
Well, you know,
kicking it.
You know, you can get pajamas now with dogs suiting their owners, like pajamas made for their owner and their dog. How cute. So you should get some pajamas made yes, yes, yes with little fuzzy.
With fuzzy.
You can take some photos and put it on our Facebook page.
Fuzzy's a yes man. definitely.
This whole Yes campaign thing is full on though, isn't it?
Oh, it's really bad.
We really need our Yes. Now, I need to say something really quickly. I always say really quickly and I go bang on for hours. But hey, I went and visited my girl crush yesterday, woman crush, should I say. She's so beautiful. Like, oh my God. And she's going to be our culinary expert on our brekkie show.
Oh, she's
right?
got the sexy voice.
She's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. And I've crushed on her for about 20 years. But I went in there yesterday to visit her and she had this song on, okay? And I never ever tuned into the lyrics until she told me. She said, hey, do you love this song? Like, you know, I used to dance to this in the 80s. And that's how she talks. She's so sexy. And she said, listen to the lyrics, Anastasia. It's really a powerful, powerful song. And I tuned into the lyrics and I got really emotional.
It is very
emotional. It's so emotional. It's about just being accepted, about being gay and accepted and not. This is why the Yes campaign is so important. So tune in, turn it up and listen to the words. They're really beautiful.
Bronski Beat, you're on Joy. Bronski Beach, Small Town Boy on Joy 94.9 with Anastasia and Warren for breakfast.
Yeah, hey, we just got a message in on 0427 Joy 949 by Tim. He says, "Hi guys, I saw the story about the dog and was shocked, but more shocked by people's comments below the story saying it was made up as the yes vote is losing ground. Have a great show, Tim. P.S. Check out the video for this song. P.P.S. I met Jimmy Somerville in a bar and told him how much he helped me when I was coming out. He was very humble and grateful." Such a beautiful song, and how wonderful for you to meet Jimmy Somerville. He's amazing.
Anastasia,
yes.
I had to reset my Wi-Fi the other day.
Yes.
And I logged on and I looked at all the names of coming up.
Yes.
And one of my neighbours has named their Wi-Fi Hot Route in 102. So I've been looking at who's in number.
You got any hot neighbours?
Yeah, he's absolutely stunning.
Is he a hot root?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And then it got me thinking about how people name their Wi-Fi to communicate with their neighbours. Have you had any weird Wi-Fi names?
No, look, mine's Pumpkin Tits.
Pumpkin Tits? But you just gave away yours. Everyone can go and log on to Pumpkin Tits. Free Wi-Fi. If you've had any weird Wi-Fi names in your area,
yes,
let us know what they are.
What's
yours is Pumpkin Tits. I'm not going to say mine.
Go on, we want some free
but
Wi-Fi.
Kane from Hoppers Crossing says he's got one in his area called Suck on My Secure Connection.
Oh, my God.
I like that one. That's really good. Paul from East St Kilda says it hurts when I pee.
Oh, my God. We got a couple on 0427 Joy 949. One from David in St Kilda. He says, "I used to have upstairs neighbours who sounded like a goat and a male seal during entertaining. So I changed my Wi-Fi to, ooh, I can hear you copulating, ooh." We got another one in. "Hi, Joy. My Wi-Fi name is Real Horse Hair." Oh, rough. And another one, "Pretty fly for a Wi-Fi or a FBI black van Wi-Fi." That's from Steve. I love that one. Also, another one from Beck. She says, "We once changed ours to ASIO, van, and my mother-in-law thought a spy van was actually out front of our house." And another one here, "Funniest one I remember is tell your Wi-Fi love her." That's from Andy. Yes.
Did you used to ever really cry in front of your partner?
Oh, yeah, I used to cry a lot. Yeah, absolutely. Love a good cry. But, yeah, when they'd been mean to me.
Me too. I just flip
you
into it straight away.
You love a good
away.
Cry. I get jealous with you.
It's so good. It just gets it out.
Yeah, you'll text me and go, "I just had the most amazing cry."
One of my exes used to hate it and used to say, "Man up, stop crying in front of me."
I'd
say,
"No, thank God he's an ex."
It's confidence and tough to cry in front of someone.
It's actually beautiful to be vulnerable. That's strength, darling,
absolutely.
Being vulnerable.
But I wish I had this. There's a new gun, right?
Right.
And it's been shown off in Dutch Design Week.
Right.
It collects your tears. You put this little mask on.
Right.
As you cry, they trickle down these brass tubes into the main body of it.
Right.
And then it freezes your tears so you can fire them.
You're kidding,
at the
right?
person, no, I'm not. At the person making you cry.
So are they
it doesn't
hard?
Hurt. No, it doesn't do any. It's not like that power.
That's
just for like a toy thing. But it captures your tears, freezes them, and you can go. And
I'd feed my plants with them.
The designer reportedly created the gun after an altercation with her tutor. She said she created it as a visual metaphor for her struggle to speak her mind, rather than as a deadly weapon for people who are out of tissues.
Wow, I really like that. Concept
How
is
good
fantastic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Don't make me cry.
Yeah.
You can fire them
Stop
back.
Stop being mean to me.
You're a big Facebook user. You're a huge Facebook user.
Oh, my God, I'm on all the time, aren't I?
So according to some...
I'm on now.
According to some new research, there's four types of Facebook user.
Really?
The selfie... The town crier, the window shopper, and the relationship builder.
Oh, my God, you're so the selfie one.
So, no, the selfie is all about self-promotion, snapping photographs of their faces and broadcasting them incessantly out of the virtual
God,
ether.
God, you know who those ones are and you know who you are.
Their aim is almost always to get as many likes, comments and attention as
Licks
possible.
Licks and likes. Go to Anastasia Warren page, please.
The thing about the selfie is the image is not accurate of the person.
Of course it's not.
Then there's the relationship builder. They use Facebook regularly enough to post things, respond to others and engage in debates, conversations and generally try to build connections online.
Got a few of those too.
I'm a relationship builder.
You are actually.
You're a selfie.
You love a whinge on your face.
Then there's this one, the town criers. They're the opposite of the relationship builders. So the gap between their virtual life and real life is huge. Instead of focusing on their lives or the lives of friends and families, they see themselves as a source of news.
Oh, God.
So they share articles, comment on current events and announce major events to the world.
Yes.
And then there's the window shoppers.
Right.
Who are those who feel socially obliged to be on Facebook. So right. They're a bit like the town criers, but their motivation isn't to inform the planet about the latest
in
global affairs.
Your study is pretty accurate.
Absolutely.
Which one do you honestly think you are, though?
I reckon I'm a relationship builder.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because I like to, you know, if I connect with someone, I'd like to meet them, have a coffee,
yeah,
have a chat.
Too.
And, you know, turn it into a real friendship.
Mm, yes.
But otherwise Facebook's just free information.
Yeah, exactly right.
So what do you think you are? You're the selfie.
I'm so not the selfie. I reckon I'm the relationship builder as well.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
So one of those four types.
Yeah. Hey, now listen, do you know what pronia means?
No.
Why not?
Pronia?
You need to look, if you're going to have a Greek best mate, you're going to have to learn the language, buddy.
Yeah, I know spanakopita.
You know spanakopita, but that's it. You only know how to eat it, buddy. You don't know how to bloody spell
Can
it.
Can I just say, you promised that you would make some about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I still haven't had it.
Yeah, I'm all talk, no
you're
action,
all talk,
buddy.
No action.
Hey, listen, hopefully this organisation isn't all talk. It's a non-for-profit organisation. It is called Pronia, and I think it's all about action. We've got the LGBTI project officer, Maria, on the line.
Good morning, Maria.
Hey, how you going?
Good morning, darling. Hey, listen, I can't help but put my WOG voice on when I'm talking to you.
That's okay. Go for it. Go
have
for
you,
it.
What have you had for breakfast?
We're better understood that way.
Now, have you had a lamb souvlaki with extra tzatziki this morning for your breakfast ready for work?
No, I'm a vegetarian.
So am I. I was going to say you could have had a lamb souvlaki shake, but you haven't.
No.
Hey, now listen, Maria, I have to say I got an email by accident from you about 2 weeks ago or a week ago saying, Anastasia, could you please contact us about the incident report? And I'm thinking, what the hell is this woman doing? What are they talking about? So I gave your organisation a call and I'm pretty sure I spoke to you and you said, oh, my God, it's the wrong Anastasia.
It was the wrong Anastasia in one sense, but, hey, the university had arranged for me to contact you because you're the right Anastasia.
Exactly.
In terms of what I'm doing.
Now, Maria, tell us about Pronia. Please tell us about it because I'm excited that it has an LGBTI project officer.
Not more than I. So Pronia is a community Greek organisation. It's been around for about 45 years. They've never done anything LGBTI. At the end of last year, in partnership with the Greek and Gay Support Network, they were approached to put in for some funding to do an LGBTI-specific project.
Yeah.
We were successful in getting the funding from the Department of Premier and Cabinet, Multicultural Commission, and now I was employed, and now this project's been on the go since February.
Wow.
And it's a consultation kind of community information, community education project to work in particular with the Greek community, Greek LGBTI community and their families.
Yeah.
And it's to kind of focus a little bit on the first generation, so our parents' age, my parents' age, definitely.
Yeah.
And do a lot of community education and information sessions, which I've been doing. And they've been okay. I thought I'd, you know, get really booed and...
I thought you'd get booed too. Like, you would get homophobic Greek comments. Like, "Dish to the island, blah, blah, blah,
blah." I know, exactly. I even went to the Reservoir Elderly Citizens group the other day and they said, come in, sit down. You know, would you like a coffee? What are you doing? I gave them brochures in Greek and English and, yeah, they were just very, very receptive. They said... You know, look, some of us don't really understand, but we'd like to understand because there are, you know, grandchildren and children and great-grandchildren that are LGBTI, so please inform us and help us understand.
Maria, that is so beautiful. That makes me so happy because I've struggled with my sexuality for so many years and just knowing that this is a service is just wonderful for the Greek community.
I really never thought I'd work in a Greek organisation because my background is really youth development.
Yep.
I came from many years in local government working with young people, that generalist young people, but then the last sort of 10 years veering off into LGBTI youth, and that is really my passion. When I saw this job, I thought, should I, shouldn't I? But I thought the project too important, and yes, I should, and yes, I could. So I went for the job, got it, and I think I'm doing really well.
I think it's fantastic. So what? Now there's an event coming up as well?
There is an event. There's a women's social night because through some of my consultations and focus groups, there was a request for a safe space for Greek and gay or lesbian or same-sex attracted, however they identified, a space because a lot of the clubs and a lot of the spaces that were available, say, in the 80s through to the 90s, they've ceased operating because of social media and so forth. But the Greek women wanted me to identify a safe space and to have a social special night so they can have a regular kind of gathering. And I have done that.
Oh, my God. Tell us all about it. Where do we go? Who do we see? What do we eat?
Brown's Corner Hotel.
Yeah.
502 Sydney Road. Basically on the corner of Bell and Sydney Road in Coburg.
Yep.
It's a beautifully sort of decorated pub and it's LGBTI friendly because they have a women's pool comp generally on Mondays. And I've been there just to check it out. It's really, really nice, laid back and classy.
Oh, this sounds, Maria, fantastic. So
I hope it's fantastic. I'll put on finger food. Hopefully we can share stories. I'm a bit of a fun sort of girl. Got lots of stories to
you
share.
You sound a bit of fun. I think you and me should get some zicky with it soon. Will you come back on next time when we can speak more? What do you reckon?
Yeah, let me tell you when it is this night so we don't finish before we go up. So it's 7 p.m. onwards on Tuesday the 11th of October.
Okay, Tuesday, 11th of October, 7 p.m. onwards. Maria's going to be there with her finger food.
And my laugh, because I'm a bit of a clown and a joker.
Oh, mate, so if you're Greek, you're funny. Trust me.
There was a really good opinion piece on the ABC website by Francisco Perales from the University of Queensland.
Right.
She did some data analysis and she found that there's a strong and statistically significant association between higher cognitive ability and the greater likelihood to support equal rights between same and different sex couples.
Right.
So the results suggest that on average, people who stand against equal rights for same-sex couples are less likely to have cognitive resources that are important to participating in meaningful debate. In other words...
So basically people that are saying no are dumb.
So it may shed some light on why some of the no side may be failing to offer evidence-based arguments.
Yeah, I could have told you that for free, buddy.
or why they keep relying on sort of philosophically, historically or flawed arguments.
Yeah.
So how's that? So we've actually now got a study that says...
You're dumb if you vote no.
If you vote no, you're dumb.
No, I'm with that study.
That's
not from Maryland University.
So if you want to look smart,
I'm dumb with being dumb. I've got to get out of here.
You've got to get going.
Darling, we've got the day off tomorrow morning.
We have. Have a great long weekend.
We're back on Monday morning.
Go the Tigers.
Can't wait.
Okay, Richmond's going to be a buzz.
Who's competing?
Richmond and Adelaide.
Then I'm going with Adelaide if you're going for the Tigers.
His management kids. We'll see you on Monday morning. Have a great long weekend.
Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.